Coming up in just a few seconds, we'll continue our look at some key legislative races in Iowa. Today, we'll visit with Karen Deary, who's running in her first attempt at elected office in Iowa House District 39. That lies just to the north of Des Moines in Johnston, Grimes, and into Jefferson Township. Karen Deary, next on the Business News Hour. Insight on Business, the News Hour, is a production of Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service advertising and marketing agency whose work is to create desire on the part of our clients. Learn more at insightcubed.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Aureon, Human Resources and More, for businesses and nonprofits. Aureon.com. Remax Concepts, real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids. RealEstateConcepts.net.
It is the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for coming by. You know, just a few days before the November 6th election. And one of the things that we've been doing, not that we dabble in politics all the time, but we're having conversations with some of the candidates, both urban and rural, that are seeking election in the upcoming November 6th campaign. And with us is Karen Deary. She is running for the Iowa House of Representatives. We will talk a little bit about where that is in her district and more about her and the issues that she is confronting as she door knocks and does call time and all the other things that candidates love to do. Karen, welcome back to the Business News Hour. This is a return visit for you.
Yes, it is.
Tell us a little bit about what district you are in and what the geographical confines of that is.
Yep. District 39 encompasses Johnston and Grimes, Precinct 4 in Urbandale, and Jefferson Township.
That's a pretty large district.
It is. It's one of the largest districts in the state.
So when you're running in a district that large, and it's kind of spread out because there's hints of rural here.
Yes.
And then you've got some manufacturing facilities and some mixed use areas.
Yes.
Some more densely populated areas. My gosh. That makes walking and knocking doors kind of interesting, doesn't it?
It does make it a challenge, certainly as you get into Jefferson Township and, you know, further north in the district. Walking is more challenging. So we have some volunteers who, you know, physically aren't up to doing a lot of walking, so they offer to drive door knockers. And that's one of the ways that we've been reaching out to people in those areas.
Yeah, and it's stunning. I was in Boone County. Not long ago, talking with a couple of prospects for the Iowa House there. And you talk about large districts. So one of those districts is all of a county and several other counties. And so that can get to be extremely large and time-consuming doing this.
Yes.
First run at public office?
It is my first campaign. I never even ran for student council. I never thought I'd run for office, but I watched some of the things that were happening and decided that I could either complain about things or do something about it, so I decided to run.
Well, let's talk about some of those issues. What are some of the things that motivated Karen Deary to take up the mantle and run for public office?
Like so many other people, I was so disappointed by the results of the November 2016 election. At the time, our youngest, it's our daughter Carlene, was 14 years old. And the idea that a man who would talk about women the way that our president had talked about women before the election would have been elected, that almost half the voters in this country thought that was okay, that was pretty upsetting to me as a woman and as a mom. And so I started paying a lot more attention. And while I was really concerned about what was happening at the federal level, I also started to pay a lot more attention to what was happening at the state level. And you will recall that in 2017, our legislature passed a lot of laws that weren't particularly helpful for working Iowans. They stripped collective bargaining rights from our public employees. They passed the preemption bill, which prohibited local governments from passing higher minimum wage laws. And that just didn't seem very Iowa supportive of working Iowans. And so I decided, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and run.
Yeah. And while you're ticking down some of these issues, there's some other ones that I'm sure may have motivated you. And from individuals who I've talked to, healthcare, the privatization of Medicaid, the opportunity of mental health care here in Iowa, a budget that's been out of whack.
Yes, you know, all very, very concerning. You know, Medicaid has been such a problem, and the legislators in my district response to that has generally been, well, that was the governor's action. You know, we have nothing to do with that. And I disagree. They're legislators, and they had plenty of opportunity to address it, and, you know, they chose not to take up those bills. We have people in Iowa who need crucial medical services, and they're not getting it. And that's just plain wrong. That's not who we are as Iowans. Additionally, the providers are not being paid. I'm on the board of Primary Healthcare, which is a community health organization, so I've seen firsthand the impact on providers of going all those months with the MCAs simply not paying their bills. And then as I door knock, I also speak with providers. You know, I spoke with a provider who is thinking about no longer providing Medicaid services or services to Medicaid recipients because he just can't afford to do it any longer. And that's too bad. It needs to be fixed. And, you know, we're not saving the money we were supposed to. And that money should be going to provide services rather than enriching out-of-state for-profit companies.
One of the things, it was interesting that you should bring that up. One of the people I talked to just this weekend happens to be a public health nurse in Clarion. And she was talking about how providers there are not being paid. And she's dealing with some of the most fragile cases in rural Iowa. And she said, you know, I don't know how much longer this is going to be able to go on. So I'm hearing it not only in urban areas, and people say, well, you know, the urban people are the ones that are using Medicaid. No. No, as we take a look out there in the hinterland, many rural Iowans are affected by this.
Yes, they certainly are. You know, you might recall the United Way study that demonstrated that 37% of Iowa households are headed by working Iowans who aren't making enough money to pay for the basics necessities. I think that that speaks to, you know, the fact that we've just left too many people behind. And certainly the Medicaid privatization has exacerbated that problem.
Let's talk for a moment about another hot-button issue that seems to be out there, and I know the sitting governor is taking great credit for this, but it's an issue that revolves around mental health. You know, we talk about mental health. What's your concern as delivery systems may also be lacking there?
Right. So I spoke with a nurse executive with one of our local hospitals who told me that they from time to time will have people who are in the ED who've been seen by a psychiatrist. They need to be admitted and they sit in the ED for 24, 48 hours because there's no bed.
And that's the emergency department, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the emergency department. Harkening back to my days, I worked at Broadlawns years ago, so every so often still throw out a little lingo there.
I got it. Yeah. We used to call it, I'm so old, we used to call it the ER.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
So, yeah, the emergency department. So people are sitting there for a long period of time because there's no other place to go?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly the case. You know, and I think it's great that the legislature took some steps last year to try to address it. You know, the problem, of course, is that they didn't fund it. And, you know, we can't just keep giving lip service to things and saying, okay, we've checked that box, now we get to move on. We need to make sure that our budget starts reflecting our Iowa values. And our Iowa values include people having access to the mental health services that they need. And the other part of it is, in the long term, it's smart to make that investment now. We will save money on, you know, corrections costs. We can save money on healthcare costs moving forward if people are getting, if we can get in front of things early rather than waiting until it, you know, really does become an even worse problem. You know, and this is not something that just happened. You know, I remember years ago. Do you remember that that football coach who was murdered up in
Parkersburg?
Yep. And I remember the mother of the shooter talking about how she begged for help. She begged for it for her son. She knew he was dangerous, and they couldn't get the help that they needed. We can do better in Iowa, and we need to do better.
Her name is Karen Derry, ladies and gentlemen. She is running for the Iowa House here in the northern section of Des Moines. And let's talk about door knocking for just a second. One of the things I know candidates enjoy doing is getting face-to-face with as many people as possible. What are you hearing as you knock doors throughout the district?
So I hear a lot about our public schools. And here in this district, people move here for our good public schools. You know, the Dallas Center Grimes, the Urbandale, the Johnson School Districts all have wonderful reputations. And so overall, people are really pleased with their public schools, but they are aware of the underfunding that's been going on with our public schools. So I'm sure you know that last year, the state provided a 1.1% increase in funding for the public schools. That didn't even keep up with inflation. And so a lot of parents are concerned that if in the long run, that's going to start resulting in larger classroom sizes. The kids aren't going to get the education that they need. And I can relate to it. So I've had a child in the Johnson School since 1994. Our youngest is a junior this year. My kids have had a great public school experience. One of the reasons I'm running is because I feel so passionately about the need for Iowa to continue to support our public schools. So another thing door knocking also hears is about the cost of college. And, you know, that's concerning for our voters in the district as well. And again, we've been cutting the funds for our community colleges, for our Regents universities. And there is a real concern that that is, you know, if we continue to underfund and cut from those colleges, it's going to make a college education out of reach for too many families.
Karen Derry is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Business News Hour. We're talking about her run for the Iowa House of Representatives. This is a tough job. It really is. I mean, not only just running, but being. Because a lot of people say, oh, you know, they're only up there 120 days or whatever it happens to be, but there's committee meetings on the off season. There's all of these phone calls and constituent work that goes on. Your life is about to get really crazy should you be victorious on November 6th.
Yes.
Is it worth it?
Well, yes, yes, I sure hope so. Yes, I think it will get crazy, but I'll tell you, it has been crazy. I've been at this for over a year, and it is incredibly time-consuming. And I will say I could not have done it without the volunteers who've stepped up to help. It is amazing. We have a great group of volunteers. I talked about the people who drive door knockers. There's just a ton of energy up here. People are really excited about flipping this seat, and that's made all the difference with getting people engaged.
One of the other unique things about this election season for 2018 is the sheer number of women who have taken up the challenge. Many, just like you, have never run for public office before, ever. I can't help but think that that should drastically change the complexion of the Iowa State House, and especially in light of the horrible things that have been going on with regard to women and their supervisors at the State House. Can you speak to that?
Right. And yeah, I agree with that. I think it will make a big difference. And I can also speak to what's been going on at the Iowa legislature and in state government generally from an HR perspective. Before I went to law school, I worked in human resources for 15 years. And I can tell you that most employers, the vast majority of employers, would never have put up with the shenanigans that have been going on. And shenanigans is putting it nicely.
Right.
This kind of behavior hurts people. So employers generally don't do that, don't allow that, because not only does it present legal liability, it's not the right way to treat people. It's not the right way to treat your employees. You're not going to have productive employees if they're working in a hostile work environment. So, yeah, I do think that that will, having more women will make a difference in that area as well. And another thing that I think might make a difference between the combination of women coming in and new faces coming in is that there'll be some fresh perspectives. People coming in from different walks of life, from different career backgrounds, are going to be bringing different skills to the legislature. So, you know, I worked as an in-house counsel for almost 7 years and, you know, spent most of my time negotiating contracts, frankly. And, you know, you'd start out and you'd know that the two parties want to do a deal, whether it's, you know, lease something or buy something or sell something. But they might have very different ideas about how they want to get there. But they both wanted to get it done. And so what do? You negotiate, you compromise, you communicate, and you figure out a way to get it done. Those are the kinds of skills I'll be bringing to the Iowa House. Other legislators are going to be bringing other new experiences. And I think that's going to make for an effective and very interesting legislature.
We're going to leave it right there because I could not end it any better. Her name is Karen Derry, ladies and gentlemen. She is running for the Iowa House. We will have links to her campaign place up on the radio blog. Karen, thanks so very much for doing this.
Thank you.
Once again, that was wife, mom, and candidate Karen Derry, running for the Iowa House in District 39. That's Johnston, Grimes, and Jefferson Township. You can find out more by heading to her website, and we've got that link on our radio blog. Our production coordinator is Chap Ramsey, sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're hearing right now was created for the Business News Hour by James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For the entire crew, my name is Michael Libby. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.